DJM.
This is like a metaphor for trying to get the podcast going the right way. Because this is my second attempt to launch the podcast, and I think this one might work. Let's see. First, let's see what's going on in the entertainment world. A couple years ago.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison. But let's go ahead, Terrace plays a little bit to have the pit.
Say what?
Sometimes that happens, and you just totally flub what you're gonna say. But it must be hard for her to do it on, you know, news TV.
There were a few different times. I guess this says Serene Branson, but yeah, there were a few different reporters right around then that were doing things like that.
Oh, so you think it's something with when it was happening? Like they were all brainwashed at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know though. There was a compilation like reporters speaking gibberish. there seemed to be a handful of incidents of this around 2011, 2012, and I don't know, it seems to have slowed down is the thing.
25 other states and a lawsuit against President Obama's health care reform law. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says Wisconsin is the latest state, including Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Ohio, and Wyoming, to join Florida's suit. The states claim in the exorcist saw Unchisracho and Clay Bringritz by health urgent.
I know.
President Obama will head to...
It sounds like they messed with her... confidence monitor.
Oh, you mean like it was just an audio trick?
Well, a very heavy.
Maybe they just, you know, messed with her and put up some bad words for her to read.
Oh, like in the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe there's like some glitches in the teleprompter.
I know, but there's some kind of strange things that they say, and it's I don't know. It's some of the things they say sound kind of crazy, and people were coming up with science fiction answers, like there was a confusion gun or something.
18 fighter jets are spending about as much as 20 and ready to assist the 600 100 deployed over the amount needed. Now, it did depend on how the NOLAN remerges RN while the university or the UN mission as whole received support from all batteries in the hues of the garments of today. I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Mark McAllister from Japan Tonight. Newly released video is providing a shocking...
this video looks like it was published March 2012.
Předpokládat, že odpoledne pravdy budeme příčný. A teď se pojďme podívat na to, co přinesli poslední hodiny na české politické scéně.
And so there's a different country. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things that kind of came and went, but I don't think we ever really explored it on the podcast.
We'll take your phone calls with Nick Redfern as we talk about one of Ian Punnett's favorite subjects, cryptozoology. Hey, Ian, double duty this weekend, huh?
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Were you watching any of the soccer action?
Yeah, I did in glimpses, but I'm more fascinated with Paul the Octopus.
Yeah.
These pics the Netherlands, and he's not wrong. So, you know, off we go.
Well, I just, it was one of those little main surprises. We walk in the house, it looked like one great big room, and then you could break it up like that, and each one could have its own separate heat. And I think, wow, that's, you know, that's... And I thought, is this going to really give a driveway? And that's Ben. And he's threatening the Hoover, you know, to see that he's not putting away the dishes. And of course, you know, keep that shirt off. No reason at all to get it off.
Exactly.
this one says it's George Norrie. He's not listening to a word that guy's saying. He's not listening to a word. He doesn't care. Like, you know, I mean, of course, it's just, I mean, I just feel like, what is it even... Coast to Coast AM. I mean, come on, like, you know, what do you expect somebody to talk about? But this time it's like literally gibberish.
That is crazy.
Well, let's see if they got any. They might have one more. Do they have? Well, anyway, so yeah, I mean. There's kind of a gray line between people just going off and saying crazy shit and this, but I mean, some of those ways people were talking and the kind of confusion and I don't know, you know, random words or non sequiturs, I don't know. I mean, whatever was going on there is, you know, pretty much blown over, whatever was causing all that, I guess. Although, I mean, people are still speaking gibberish.
John Hannity last night has two guests
to
talk about whether Eric Holder committed perjury. I don't know.
All right, there's these young Turks guys. Like, okay, there's that main guy, Shank Unger, and he's kind of like the personality on the network. But these guys are such fucking, like, I don't know, just... whiners.
So this is a debate on Sean Hannity between Bill Cunningham
not
and
whiners,
Cameron
like
Holder, and it gets
drones. Like
you are judicially challenged, and you're one of the stooges of the
left. All right, so this is the actual clip.
You'll always be there to excuse away criminal behavior. You suffer from Bob Beckelitis, which is an incurable, fatal condition of liberalism that has caused people like Eric Holder to be the concept. Larry, for President Barack Hussein Obama, sign the petition, Tamara, to call for the resignation of the chief law enforcement officer of this nation because he lied under oath when he criminalized journalism, and you know he did it, but you refuse to do what's right.
But I really hope that when you speak to a judge, you don't point your finger in the person's face the entire time by making your point.
Are you a judge?
Your finger does not.
Whose finger's in my face right now?
Mine, because I'm telling you to shut up. But anyway.
I mean, you shut up. Know your role and shut your mouth.
My role as
a
woman.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Are you
going to
cry?
No, I'm not
going to
cry.
You're not
going to
cry?
No, I'm not
going to. Shake hands and. Make friends.
I don't shake hands with trolls.
No. Oh. See, you
name
guys.
Calling takes the place of reason.
You started it.
You began it.
Yeah.
Don't you look at me
you
like that.
You compare me to Bob Beckel. I think you're taking lessons from Michelle Malkin on how to call people.
All right.
So this is just two... people arguing on Fox News, a stupid, pointless clip. But don't you like how she just, like, took him apart?
Embarrassing for both of them to just
I know, but like the fact that she was on Hannity, she should have known, but like that guy is such an asshole, like I gotta give her credit for like not, you know, just, you know, letting him talk to her like that. I don't know, people are talking a lot about shit about Edward Snowden.
I've seen Where in the World Is Snowden.
Yeah, I guess it's not
moved.
Known right now.
Has he moved?
There's been a lot of stuff happening with Snowden. I don't even know the latest because Hong Kong is saying that he's left. Aside from that, I don't know what the like latest is because they were saying he was in Moscow and he was going to go to Cuba, and then some reporters apparently got on the plane to follow him to Cuba and he was a no-show.
So
I don't know. Yeah, like here's some There's here's like some sort of news report. It looks like from
Sandra,
ABC 7
you.
In some city.
Where is he tonight? The whereabouts of admitted CIA leaker Edward Snowden, a big mystery. He was supposed to be on a plane this morning in Russia. He never showed up and has not been seen since. Eyewitness News reporter Jeff Begays is here with today's developments. Jeff?
Shade, that he wasn't on that plane suggests to some that U.S. diplomatic pressure may be having an impact on the Russians. Could it mean that Putin's government may comply with U.S. demands? The next several
that, to me,
hours
is one of the most hilarious things
that
ever.
Question as U.S. officials race to get Edward Snowden in custody. Tonight, it's not clear where Edward Snowden is.
There's a couple of...
They're going to kill him.
The accused NSA leader is expected on a flight from Moscow to Cuba.
Just
but
like
no!
they do.
Oh, shit!
Well, remains in
Russia,
like.
Where U.S. officials are hoping their Russian counterparts...
Apparently, he's already under
indictment. The 30-year-old's run from the law. And what many believe is an embarrassing episode for the Obama administration.
We do expect
yes.
the Russian government to look at all the options available to them to expel... Mr. Snowden back to the United States.
But whether the Russians cooperate remains to be seen. China didn't, allowing the NSA contractor to leave Hong Kong.
This sets up
Moscow.
China as an enemy.
Hiding there with
China.
They're continuing to tell that story.
Secrets.
So,
no.
whether he really is in China or not.
Yeah.
Snowden,
but I remember thinking China might be the only country powerful enough to stand up to the U.S. on this. Maybe that's why I went there originally.
Hong Kong as well as to the Chinese government through diplomatic channels. And we've noted that such behavior is detrimental to U.S. Hong Kong and U.S. China bilateral relations. But it is the damage to the intelligence apparatus U.S. officials appear most concerned about. Over the last couple of weeks, Snowden's revelations have exposed secrets that could have a chilling effect on anti-terror efforts for years to come. For now, the
really?
Obama administration waits for other nations to act. Before they can get Edward Snowden back within their grasp.
What we know is
no.
that we're following all the
so
appropriate legal channels and working with various other countries to make sure that rule of law is observed.
So I would disagree with what you just
Snowden
said.
Snowden has applied for asylum in Ecuador and, as we learned today, Iceland. According to some estimates, he may have more than 200 sensitive documents in his possession. Diana?
Thank you, Jeff.
There's obviously a pursuit, like a manhunt for him by the U.S. And then, on the other hand, there's other countries that might be willing to pass him around among each other for a while. Ecuador has given asylum to Julian Assange, although he's stuck in their embassy in London. And this could be the next, major asylum case that goes to Ecuador. Or, people are talking about Iceland or Venezuela also. And, of course, Cuba was, being talked about, but apparently, then he didn't go to Cuba. So, I think he is a whistleblower, and I think he's exposing abuses. The guy is doing, he's doing what he felt like he had to do. And he's being attacked by the media, there's a lot of idiots that are defending the NSA spying. So as an example of one of those idiots, here's a clip of Adam Carolla.
Man. When I see them attempting to do something, I don't care how bad they fuck it look. I had my 7-year-old twins try to wash my truck over the weekend. They fucked it up more than they helped it, right? They're squirting the hose at each other. They're fucking rubbing the same spot over and over again. But they were trying to help daddy clean the truck. When the government starts fucking with its citizens, giving out, when they take a whole bunch of assholes from high school and say, go up in the hills and look for every car that's, by the way, an automatic and put in park, and look for everyone whose wheels aren't turned in at more than 30 degrees on any grade that's more than 4 degrees and give them an $80 ticket, that's the government fucking with us, and that's the government I hate. When they're trying to help clean daddy's truck, oh, fuck it. Even if they do a shitty job, fuck it.
It doesn't mean. So that's apparently his authoritarian argument for the NSA. And of course, it goes back to parent issues. You hear this kind of discussion from conservatives a lot about, like, parental authority being, like, a model for the government, which it's not. The government is ruled by a constitution, which is, you know, nominally in the hands of the people to change.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, your parents were bad. Well, they did the best they could. Oh, the government was bad. Well, they did the best they could. But the government is not our parents.
Oh, no.
You seem private.
And, you know, this is just putting into the world that we should just accept the president and accept the role of everybody in his cabinet and accept just what they do. And it's like, this is our country, you know? Like, we have every right to speak up and stand up and get out of it what we want. And I think a lot of these people are just, they're getting brave and bold, and they're just starting to knock down these walls because they realize that there's just a lot of lies and cover-ups and conspiracies going on. And I think we're at a breaking point in this world with the internet reach and the popularity that it has and the ability to spread communication so fast that, you know, this is, I mean, we're just cracking the surface, you know, we're getting in there, but I mean, I can start to see the walls crumbling, you know, and we need some good people that are going to be there to pick it back up and build a new space and lead people into this new kind of world.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but I don't know. I mean, right on, Edward Snowden.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting to see, of course, there's going to be a lot of, a lot of morons that are going to be defending the NSA and attacking Edward Snowden. But look just at the so-called liberal journalists and see it. You can see a split there. So here's an illustration of sort of two different sides of the Edward Snowden debate among two, you know, supposedly progressive journalists.
Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, is Glenn Greenwald, columnist on civil liberties, U.S. national security issues for the Guardian newspaper. Glenn, of course, wrote the Edward Snowden story in the Guardian. Glenn, my first question to you is,
all right,
Mr. Snowden travels around the globe.
Forget it. Like, that, I can't use that audio. That is a YouTube rip, you know? Isn't that just terrible? That's not enough volume to work with in this laptop. I can't launch that audio.
I do wish the MacBook Pros had more speaker to them, you know?
Yeah, the MacBook Pro has a lot of it shows a lot of speaker, but that great, you know, thing, but it's really not really, it's not too much really there, you know. Yeah, not a lot of substance behind it. Well, I mean, so I wonder if on his show, here we go. We have him arguing with Greenwald right on the front. I guess we can go to the actual site. But, you know, it's Flash-based site. I'd rather just look around
on YouTube. Flash is dead. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is a lot of these sites have HTML5 fallback that at times I've been able to use FlashBlock plugins to actually get around the pre-rolls by, you know, blocking the Flash and then having it fall back to HTML5, because a lot of sites will fall back to HTML5 to get their content out there on iPads or whatever else, right? Even if they don't, you know, want to serve that as a main way, because Flash is all wrapped up in advertising.
Good evening from your
Flash
references, and thank you for joining us. Tonight on All In, the trial of George Zimmerman, charged with the second-degree murder of the Florida teen Trayvon Martin, has begun in Florida. We'll have a full report on the riveting opening arguments and possibly the worst and most awkward knock-knock joke ever told. Also tonight, it might not surprise you to hear that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas really doesn't like affirmative action, but you might be a bit taken aback by his concurrence opinion today in which he compares justifications for affirmative action to justifications for slavery. Yes,
yay!
Plus, Jon Stewart is back on TV in Egypt, and his appearance on the Egyptian version of The Daily Show is the awesomest thing I saw on the internet today. But tonight, we start with seat 17A on Aeroflot's flight this morning, bound from Moscow to Havana, Cuba. That seat, 17A, was booked for Edward Snowden, the admitted NSA leaker, the man wanted by the United States government for violations of the Espionage Act. But as the doors of Aeroflot Aeroflot flight SU-150 closed and the plane took off, Edward Snowden was not on board. A bunch of reporters were on board. They all bought tickets when they heard Snowden would be on the flight, but he was not. And so all those reporters had a nice 12-hour flight to Havana on which there was no booze and no scoop. Right now, the most powerful government in the world is looking for Edward Snowden. And right now, no one can say for sure where he is. What we do know is that yesterday morning, just 2 days after the United States filed a criminal complaint for Edward Snowden, charging him with, among other things, violations of the Espionage Act, Edward Snowden got on a plane and left Hong Kong.
So I would disagree with what you just said.
The United States had requested that Hong Kong arrest Snowden and hold him while courts process an extradition request. The Hong Kong government's response was... Well, possibly
it takes us a while to get shit done in the American legal system, so if you could just hold this guy
be our jailer for us.
Yeah. While we get our shit together and make some stupid legal law thing that lets us distract him.
There is no legal basis to restrict Mr. Snowden from leaving Hong Kong. And in the most deliciously awkward part, quote, meanwhile, the HKSAR government has formally written to the U.S. government requesting clarification on earlier reports about the hacking of computer systems in Hong Kong by U.S. government agencies. By the time that letter reached U.S. official hands, Edward Snowden had already fled to Russia, specifically to Moscow's airport, where a bevy of eager reporters gathered in order to greet him. There, Snowden reportedly met with the Ecuadorian ambassador. Ecuador, of course, the very same government that gave WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange asylum in its embassy in Britain.
Yes.
And whose foreign minister confirmed today has received an asylum request from one Edward Snowden. That request was reportedly facilitated by WikiLeaks, who now has a lawyer working with Snowden, and whose founder Julian Assange has inserted himself into the story and spoke this morning to reporters on behalf of Snowden about Snowden's situation.
Oh, he's fumbling there too a bit.
Really?
Both are healthy and safe, and they are in contact with their legal team. I cannot give further information as to their whereabouts.
Let's be clear, we have no idea where Edward Snowden is. His U.S. passport has been revoked. He does not have a Russian visa. The Russian government is acting as if he is in Russia, and the U.S. government is acting as if he is there as well.
Good.
We have no pictures or videos, only the eyewitness account of a man who says he saw Snowden on his flight from Hong Kong to Moscow. In other words, Edward Snowden has disappeared.
Under the watchful,
one might even say all-seeing eye, of the United States government. The question now is what Russian authorities decide to do with him under the intense pressure of U.S. government officials.
We hope that the Russian government will look at all available options to return Mr. Snowden back to the U.S. to face justice for the crimes with which he is charged.
We are working with them or discussing with them, expecting them to look at the options available to them to expel Mr. Snowden back to the United States to face justice for the crimes with which he is charged.
We have returned criminals that they requested for extradition from the United States over the last 2 years. So we really hope that the right choice will be made.
We're
following all
what's the right sound to play behind Carrie?
Working with various other countries to make sure that...
Oh, I forgot about Carrie.
One of the most wanted men in the world. Edward Snowden, and we do not know where he is.
People forgot about Dre, they probably forgot about Carrie.
The reason this is also dramatic riveting, aside from just the basic facts of the story, is that what he does next is going to have a pretty big impact, possibly a massive overwhelming impact on how his revelations play out politically.
Unforgettable that he needs to go to sleep.
Joining me now live from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, is Glenn Greenwald, columnist on civil liberties, U.S. national security issues for the Guardian newspaper. Glenn, of course, broke the Edward Snowden story in The Guardian. Glenn, my first question to you is, as Mr. Snowden travels around the globe and his whereabouts are unknown, are you in contact with him still?
I haven't been in contact with him since shortly before he left Hong Kong, so no, I have not spoken with him since he boarded the flight in Hong Kong.
There was an article in the South China Morning Post today in which they replayed or they reprinted part of an interview with Edward Snowden in which he basically tells them that he had taken the job, his final job with Booz Allen Hamilton as a contractor at that facility in Hawaii, with the explicit intention of essentially getting documents to then make public. I wonder what your reaction is to that and how much you think his motivations in doing this should be amongst the points of discussion we're having as we watch the story unfold.
I would think that far and away the most significant point of the entire episode, where most of our focus ought to be, if not virtually all of it, is on what we have learned the United States government is doing in complete secrecy in constructing this massive spying apparatus that a secret federal court in 2011 said was both illegal and unconstitutional, and that top-level Obama officials, including James Clapper, went to Congress and lied about when explicitly asked whether it was being directed at millions of Americans. That's where the overwhelming bulk of our focus would be. As far as the specific revelation today, in that newspaper that you referenced, it isn't surprising to me at all. When I interviewed Mr. Snowden, he had said that he has worked at the NSA since 2009. Prior to that, he worked at the CIA for 2.5 years, that he gradually came to see that there was a lot of wrongdoing taking place that the American people weren't aware of, and had decided rather long ago that he would take this course of action to inform his fellow citizens. And I think what he said in the interview today was essentially there was one last set of documents thought he needed access to complete the picture, to be able to present a clear and full picture to the American public about what the NSA was doing, and
I
for that reason
that I
went
disagree
and,
with that.
And got that last job through Booz Allen at the NSA facility in Hawaii.
Glenn, here's my question to you. As someone who basically thinks the things that we have learned about the government through Mr. Snowden's leaks have been vital, I am happy to know them. I'd much rather know them than not know them. I think there's some secret legal reasoning which has been revealed in the wake of it that has been an absolute and genuine improvement to our democratic conversation about our status and our self-governance. I'm just going to tell you what I'm worried about.
I
am worried that if he shows up on the balcony of Raul Castro at some point in the next week,
bull
it will
crap.
Be as if everyone who has been championing the revelations has walked out onto a limb that they are now standing on him with, that is
screw
then going
you.
To be sawed off behind them, because now Mr. Snowden, the whistleblower, is in the hands of someone like, say, Castro,
really?
Or someone else who people generally do not view as a beacon of openness. Do you worry
Whatever.
About that? Do you recognize the political consequences and stakes in where he actually ends up?
I don't care about any of that.
And, you know, let me say, I don't think anyone thinks that Cuba is his intended ultimate destination. I think much more likely is Ecuador, which, for all its very significant problems in its political system, does have a democracy, does elect its president, who is widely popular among especially the majority of the nation, who are poor people. But let me just say two things about that, Chris. One is, it doesn't matter what you think
comment.
Of Edward Snowden as an individual. I happen to think that what he did was quite noble and heroic and courageous. People think quite reasonably that he should have chosen a different path. Wherever you come out on that, and whether he ends up in the hands of Castro or whomever, the it doesn't really make a difference in terms of what you think about what we're learning about the U.S. government. I think it's critically important that those two things remain distinct. The other issue that I think is vital is that we should ask, why does Mr. Snowden feel a need to go and flee and run around the globe going to countries that he probably doesn't want to live in? And the answer is because we've allowed our government to persecute whistleblowers. Read the column by David Carr in the New York Times today where he says that the war on the press that the U.S. government is waging is not a matter of hyperbole, but math. Whistleblowers have no chance in this country because of this persecution, and that's the reason that he's fleeing, and that seems to me more important as well.
Glenn Greenwald from the Guardian newspaper. Thank you so much, Glenn. Appreciate it. Joining me now is Goldie.
Well, you know, definitely in terms of what he was saying, like
enough already.
Like, I mean, you know, here he is talking about this hypothetical of hanging out with Raul Castro as, like, taken away, and everything was leading up to a but. Everything was leading up to, like, having said that. And, you know what I mean? Like, that guy's supposedly a liberal MSNBC, you know, t- TV host, you know? So it just shows you how much of the establishment, anyone close to power, are all turning on him to a different extent, you know, whether it's calling him a traitor or indicting him or just trying to, like, pick apart what he did and find little flaws in it. Even though they claim to agree with it, pick it apart to the point where it sounds like they really don't, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all natural reactions, and it's part of getting the truth exposed to you. You know, people react in different ways, and,
right,
you know, even if, you know, you think you're a liberal, you know, you start to say things that don't sound so liberal, and you realize maybe you're not.
That's true. It's more about what you actually do and where you stand when it really matters.
What an opportunity for that, you know, host to really call to attention. Instead, I think he even says, like, I'm scared or I'm worried. I mean, he's totally been brainwashed by the fear factory, and that's all this is.
It's
so
right. The word fear even comes into it, right?
Expect
it's a good point.
Expect terrorist attacks after this, and that will be blamed on him. Oh, well, you know, he's compromised all these things. Hello, Boston happened. You know, so,
yeah,
like, just watch what happens. It's all false. And watch what the government decides to do with this story and with this guy. Just, we should keep an eye on this.
Yeah, for sure. There's just one more story that maybe is as big as Snowden, and that's the story about Paula Deen.
Oh, Paula.
So, and of course, Wendy Williams usually has clear-headed coverage of the issue.
Why is that the Food Network dropped them faster than we could blink, right? Because normally,
right,
especially when it has something to do with my people, normally, you know, Al Sharpton's got to get on the case. And, you know, I was really shocked. I mean, I was done with Paula anyway, but I was so shocked to find out that the Food Network is done with her, too. And, wait, look at me split after using the N-word. She also suggested, as you guys might have heard, hiring black waiters for a Southern-style plantation wedding. I mean, she just said a whole bunch of stupid stuff in her deposition. It wasn't just the racist thing. I mean, if you enjoy porn and cocaine and you're my sibling, or I'm your sibling, I'd be mad if you put that in the deposition like she did with her own brother. You know, what does that have to do with anything? Paula, why are you talking so much? And please, to you younger people, stop saying, well, she's old, she's 66. If I didn't have older people in my life, I might have chalked it up to that too. Except I'll be 66 in a few years myself. My father's 166, and my mother is right behind him, and they would never say anything so stupid. Don't you know people that are older than Paula Deen?
Yeah.
You ain't the future of shit, bitch.
Again, people excusing away the truth.
People in the audience who were 66.
Yeah, it just ages an excuse. Not these
like
days.
That. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, when older people start to say stupid things like that, this is just me talking as a daughter with older parents. When you feel as though your parents are slipping off the deep end of polite society, it's up to us as the adult thinking children to pull them back and say.
I don't know about that. That's a lot of responsibility.
Two sons, one of them, the taller one is Jamie. He lives here in New York. How you doing, Jamie? And then the other one. But you know, when you
the
have.
The other one.
Bobby. The other one's a Bobby.
Yeah.
Whatever, at this particular point, they need to be traded in for a better model of son. You're like, how could you let your mother get out there and say stuff like that? And
that's the problem.
Your age, to me, is not an excuse. And no matter how she backpedals,
well, they're not,
you know,
her
she
released PR agents.
Not only do we see factual,
yeah,
deposition, but she also released not one, but two videos of forgiveness. And one is just as bad as the other. I don't know whether you've seen them, but I'm here to catch you up to speed. Okay. Here's the first one where she's begging us for forgiveness, law.
I am here to say I am so sorry. I was wrong. Yes, I've worked hard and I've made mistakes, but that is no excuse. And I offer my sincere apology to those that I have hurt, and I hope that you forgive me.
Okay, listen, as the professor of body language, I forgot to tell you something before, so we're going to have to play that one again. There's two things that you should be looking at. When she says sorry, she turns her head no. When she says sincere, hold on.
Actually, that is a good point. Actually, people, do you ever notice forced apologies? People do turn their head when they say sorry or yes. and they turn their head no
when she says
while they're mouthing the word yes.
Got a look, and when she says sincere, she goes like this, and also the whole time that she's talking, her hands are like this. She's not open to you all. She's not telling the truth. All right, now roll it and observe the nuances.
I am here to say I am so sorry. I was wrong. Yes, I've worked hard and I've made mistakes, but that is no excuse. And I offer my sincere apology to those that I have hurt, and I hope that you forgive me.
Okay, so, first of all, the words that were coming out of her mouth, I don't know whether you bought them, I did. She needs to fire everybody on her PR team and also ask, really. And for some of us, we've heard these things floating around about Paula Deen since forever. I'll take you back to 2012 when she did a New York Times interview, and she made some pretty surprising comments. Here's the nail in the coffin. Hit it.
I feel like the South is almost less prejudiced because black folks played such an integral part in our lives. They were like our family. I have a young man
Shut
in my
up!
Life, and his name is Hollis Johnson. And he's black
Hollis
as that
is
board.
Here, isn't he here?
Can you stand up, Hollis?
What the fuck? Is Hollis here?
Come
hi, out
here,
Hollis.
Mommy. We can't see you standing against that dark board.
Now listen.
Oh,
we all
yes!
say stupid things. The difference between us and Paula Deen is we're not stupid enough to say them in polite company. We talk our stupidness at the kitchen table with the blind shut.
Because there's mouth-reading cameras that are going through the window. So, always, like I said, always a level-headed take.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's interesting to see the body language of that video and see Paula Deen and... I don't know. I mean, if Martha can bounce back from getting arrested,
yeah,
maybe Paula Deen can bounce back from this. But it's different, right? I think, you know, it's two different things. And this is personal. This is speaks to, well, I guess both speak to character, but this is a much more sensitive issue.
Yeah, I would think so. I guess I don't know. You know, I don't know too much about her or even, like, the food industry, but I know she's become a pretty big name in it, right? She was on the Today Show and the Food Network, and she's been dropped by at least the Food Network and stuff. Well, one more story we're going to have to just leave out, just summarize quickly. Now, Paul Krugman is finally realizing that Ben Bernanke isn't that good. Ben Bernanke's pulling back his monetary stimulus, and Paul Krugman is realizing that Bernanke's not really on his side.
Well, that's an interesting story. I don't know much about it.
Well, you know how, like, basically it just comes down to the fact that we need to stimulate the economy to get this depression over, and instead of doing that, the politicians are talking about cutting. So while they do that, the Fed has the ability to stimulate the economy with money, if not with tax cuts and government spending, which is even better. But at least they can do that, and now they're cutting back on that, and...
That's the problem.
That is the problem.
So thank you so much for joining me, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
This has been DJMCloud.com podcast number 90. Six. Recorded June 24th, 2013. You can find Jessica on the web at jessica.sf3am.com, on Twitter, Jessica McKeown. And you can find me on Twitter, Pacific Pelican. Find the show and my website, pacificpelican.us. And send feedback to the show, podcast@pacificpelican.us.